What's the deal with this?
Deal? What are you saying?
Deal.
Deal?
I don't see what the big deal is, you know? It's not that great.
Good deal. You won't regret it.
What's the deal, son? What do you have going?
All right, look, here's the deal.
What do you say we're making some deal?
Office workers now interact online and through smartphones, and landlords who ignore this trend will lose clients. Landlords looking to boost the loyalty of tenants have begun rolling out apps that allow them to connect easily with a range of in-house or nearby amenities and services. Everything from restaurants and gym classes to office climate controls. Tenant engagement software is still in its infancy, but stands out among the newest features of the U.S. office market that has been disrupted by the move to flexible workspaces, where many landlords have lost direct contact with the client. Today on the show, I'm speaking with Chase Garbarino, CEO and co-founder of HQO. HQO is a tenant experience platform that enables landlords to create places people love. HQO partners with the landlords and property managers who want to attract innovative tenants, provide a premium experience, and increase overall asset value. This episode is brought to you by InCheck by SiteComply. InCheck is a building operations platform used by thousands of property management teams to get visibility, accountability, and consistency, and grow their portfolios and profits. To find out more, go to incheckapp.com. That's incheckapp.com. I'm your host, Ryan Cox, managing partner at Founders Grove Capital, a multifamily value-add investment firm. The Real Estate Innovators is a podcast that explores innovation in commercial real estate. We celebrate the companies and innovators who are changing the business of commercial real estate and are inspiring the future of how we work, live, and play. I asked Chase about his background and what led to the founding of HQO.
So I hail from the Massachusetts area. Obviously, HQO is headquartered in Boston, so I've spent most of my years in Massachusetts. My entrepreneurial background started relatively young. When I was in fifth grade, I started my first business selling. There's this toy kids used to have called Pogs. They were like these kind of cardboard circular discs that you would hit with like this, a metal disc. You flip them and keep them. It's a silly little game. But I used to sell Pogs to kids on the playground, so my mother would take me to buy a wholesale on the playground. So I think, something in my DNA, I always enjoyed selling stuff to people and doing business. So that was kind of my first foray into entrepreneurship. Ended up going to Hamilton College, little liberal arts school in upstate New York, where I was mostly interested in basketball. I played hoops there. But when it became pretty apparent that I wasn't going to be making the leap to the NBA from a small D3 college hoops program, I started looking around, thinking about how, you know, at some point here, I'm going to have to get a job after college. And I wasn't the best student in the world. I never did particularly well in the classroom setting. So this was in 2005, 2006, and started to see kind of a wave of entrepreneurs making some interesting businesses on the internet. And I had been taking some computer science classes, so I was interested in technology. And I started a digital media company with a guy named Kevin McCarthy, who was one of my buddies in college. And Kevin and I still work together to this day, 14 years later. Now to fast forward a little bit, we ended up building a digital media business that we sold to Advanced Publications in New York City, which owns Condé Nast, Reddit, big shareholder in Discovery Channel, so a big media holding company. We had developed a bunch of software technology for digital publishing and ad serving, and we had built our own publications off of that. So we kind of started in digital media, and you know why that's relevant was it was a local digital media play. We created tech publications in cities focused on kind of the local tech communities, and our largest advertising segment happened to be commercial real estate. So I don't have much of I really have no commercial real estate background, but I got to know a bunch of folks in the industry that way. And we sold sold our business 2012 and ended up leaving the company in 2014, 2015. And that was kind of how we got to where we are today. And we never intended to be in commercial real estate tech, but that's back.
I asked Chase about the old model of managing tenant experiences and how HQO is challenging that model.
You know, what was interesting to us about how commercial real estate was, you know, kind of developing prop tech, CRE tech, and kind of all, you know, all the terms that we started to see popping up, and it's like this massive industry. You know, a lot of people in technology don't understand how large of a, you know, it's the largest investment asset class on the planet. And, you know, my co-founders and I were kind of looking at it. And what was interesting to us was the first wave of startups that were kind of getting all the press and buzz, you know, were in the co-working space for the most part. And, you know, when we were looking at that, everyone was saying these new tech companies like WeWork are disrupting commercial real estate. And it's people who come from technology were kind of like, well, it doesn't really look like technology, a technology business to us. It looks like a service business that's enabled by technology, but the fundamental business is very similar to property management, where they're going in, taking space, creating great experiences, and, you know, addressing a real customer need that the people who are buildings and traditional property management groups really addressing. But it's not technology, right? Like they have some technology, but it's fundamentally a real estate services business. So, you know, what we thought was interesting, though, was like, they have shifted, these co-working companies have shifted the focus of commercial real estate from being, you know, purely a physical asset management business, where the focus for property management was really on, you know, making sure stuff worked correctly and collecting the rent. And they've created it, you know, they've moved commercial real estate into an experiential business where the demands of the customers are significantly more than just, hey, we've got some keys to a nice floor and a nice building. We expect additional services and a lot more value for, you know, this place that we spend many of our waking hours every day. And if you look at other physical asset businesses like transportation and what Uber and Lyft did in transportation, and then hospitality, what Airbnb did in hospitality, we were like, it's kind of interesting. You know, they never leased a car, or they never leased an apartment or a house. They created experience through software, and they, you know, enabled the people who own physical assets to connect with people in different ways and create great experience. And so, you know, we said maybe there's an opportunity here to go to the people who own the buildings and all of the groups that are providing great experiences at these properties and build software to activate those properties and make a better experience for the tenant, because it doesn't really matter what industry you're in, whether you're Netflix and you're selling movies and TV shows, or if you're Sweetgreen and you're selling salads, if your product isn't facilitated through digital technology, you're going to get left behind. And we thought the same type of experience for commercial real estate needs to be, you know, facilitated through, at first, mobile technologies. There will be a lot of interesting ways that people experience physical space in the future through others, but everyone's got a phone in their pocket. So that's the primary mechanism in which we think real estate needs to start becoming kind of tech connected.
Chase discussed activating great experiences. I asked Chase how HQO activates great experiences for tenants.
The way that our tenant application works is, you know, the simple way to think of it is creating a remote control for your property. So, you know, you think in the day in the life of a tenant at a property, there's a lot of things that they do from start to finish that a mobile application needs to make more frictionless and make things more convenient. So, we'll integrate with, everyone has to get to and from a building. So, we start with mobility. We'll integrate with the different transportation methods that are relevant to a property. So if you're in a dense urban area and public transportation is relevant, we work with partners who aggregate the public transportation data so you can know what time the train or the bus is coming. We integrate with shuttles, so if there's a shuttle that goes to and from a property, people are dependent on getting on that shuttle to get to and from the property. We can help you track that in real time and get notifications as to when it's coming, so you don't have to stand out in the rain or anything like that. We'll integrate with, so that people can order a ride share car or something like that. You can pay for your monthly parking. We're trying to make mobility as frictionless as possible. Obviously, we can't solve traffic problems, but anything that can create a better experience for people to get to the property is something that we focus on. Then once you're at the property, physical control. So buildings are starting to be internet connected, and there's different ways that your phone can talk to properties. In the office class, the big one really is mobile key card. So instead of carrying around those pesky plastic key cards, we integrate with some of the building systems so you can swipe into a locked door or a turnstile with your phone. Third is really activating the amenities, and we think of this really as e-commerce. So you see all these landlords are trying to bring more and more services to their buildings, and a lot of times retail is a driving component of leasing up the building. So we give landlords e-commerce tools so that it makes it easy for a tenant to be able to order a coffee, book a yoga class, all the things that they're doing at these properties, which is pretty amazing. The range and suite of services that landlords are procuring these days. And then finally, community. So through the application, how can we create a good experience for someone in a building to connect with either relevant people at the property level, relevant people, other people in the building, if it is of value to them, and then things and places, locations in the neighborhood that can help bolster the environment and the experience of the property. So we kind of think of it as those kind of four pillars of how you, through the day and the life, those are things that everybody has to do at different properties. How can we make that all convenient from your phone?
At the heart of HQO is mobility integration with building systems, amenities, and community. I asked Chase, who is driving adoption of HQO, tenants or landlords, and how a user gets integrated into a building's systems and community?
I mean, it's really employee-driven in the sense that it truly is a consumer piece of technology. There's a lot of benefits, a lot of the value prop we work with on landlords is this is their, first and foremost, this is their software for their building, so it can be customized in a lot of different ways to suit the asset strategy and the tenant makeup that they have in their building. But, really core part of the value prop, because we hear, landlords are constantly talking about how their customers are in a fight for attracting good talent and retaining that talent. And so this application is made so that the landlord can say, look, we're bundling technology into our space offering in a way that can help you create a better place for your employees to work, and hopefully help attract better talent and then retain it in a way that can make things more convenient and easy so that they can be more productive for you. But the core of the tenant application is it's a consumer app, and it's used by the employees. So kind of our North Star on what we build is this feature relevant to the 99% of people in a building who don't pay rent and don't submit the work orders when something's broken? It's most prop tech in the past. We're kind of focused on those two personas, but the true end user of the building is your kind of average person who's coming in and out, and they might not even know who it is, right? So that's how we think of kind of our tenant persona.
I asked Chase about HQO's competition and to assess the tenant experience market.
So there's a bunch of other startups that we compete directly against, but it's a new category of software, which is really interesting. So it's not a new idea. I mean, there were companies in the 90s that were trying to create portals for your building on the web. So oftentimes startups think, they've come up with this brilliant new idea, when in reality, this idea I think has been around for a while, but there's this confluence of things that have come together that are enabling it to be the right time. And it's really three things. The first is obviously the proliferation of mobile. So this technology isn't as exciting on desktop web, right? So now the fact that everybody's got a computer in their pocket makes it interesting to facilitate the experience of the different things you do walking around the property and throughout the day. The second is obviously buildings are becoming smarter, and the whole smart building kind of buzzword has been around for a really long time. But for the first time, now with the different sensors and things, Bluetooth technology in buildings, it's become a reality that you can actually create certain experiences like that because buildings are getting smarter. And then the third really is WeWork, right? So like WeWork came along and has changed how people think about real estate. So we are lucky to ride the wake of WeWork, because whether you like their business model or not, they have shown that people want experience of buildings. So those three things have kind of pushed the market to a place where it's ready to adopt tenant experience software. But most of our technology, there aren't incumbents really. It's mostly us competing with startups.
I asked Chase about where HQO is in the evolution of activating and driving great experiences for tenants, potential for growth, and adding additional services.
We consider this like the first out of the first inning, to use a sports analogy, but it's still so early days in the creation of this category. That being said, with our software right now, we see typically in a building, 70% or more of the population is on the application, about a little over half of the people on the app use it multiple times a week. So still early days on this, but if you think about all of the things that landlords touch, right? Like we talked about transportation and commute, we talked about consumer spending throughout the day. The fact of the matter is that around 90% of dollars spent are still spent the old style, old school way versus e-commerce in the United States. So people are spending a lot of money throughout the day in and around their property. Communicating with people in the building, all the things that we touch. I mean, landlords have this tremendous opportunity to really tap into people's daily habits through a mobile application. And that's the hardest thing, right? Like, it's not hard to build a mobile app. There's over 3 million mobile apps in the Apple Store, but it's hard to get people to use it regularly. So where we think we've got a perfect marriage with landlords is we're really, really good and hyper-focused on creating great user experiences in software. And they're good at creating great real-world experiences, and they've got phenomenal distribution to very large populations of people and in an environment where they do these things that they do every day. So the combination can create a really rich application that people use multiple times a day. So there's still a lot to be desired in the space. Like if you take access control, only about 1% of the market has Bluetooth-enabled card readers. So the reality of the frictionless security experience is going to take a while to get there because of hardware infrastructure, but it's all doable now, which is great. So we're still early in the game, but the early data is pretty exciting.
Chase talked about tenant experience as an old idea and that the proliferation of mobile has enabled those old ideas. I asked Chase what has been surprising or an unexpected outcome from getting people connected to the building's systems, amenities, and community.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple of things that have been really surprising. The way that commercial real estate, at least from our experience, people who are asset managers and people running the buildings, we kind of thought we'd run into, more friction in terms of their hunger to adopt technology. But what we're seeing is there's plenty of complexity in the sale and getting all the constituencies, property management, asset management, executives, all this stuff, different vendors, bought in and onboarded. But the the hunger and interest in getting data on tenants to provide better experiences is there. It's palpable, which is great. So that has been a pleasant surprise. And then I think a challenge that, if you can get it right, will ultimately be a great opportunity. But I think a real challenge we need a technology like this is the usage of different properties varies pretty widely in terms of like what features really drive usage based off of the demographics of the tenant base. So you can get pretty different usage in a downtown tower that's high finance crowd compared to a brick and beam tech oriented building or something like that. So you have to be mindful of demographics, but as we start to collect that data and see differences, it also can really inform unique asset strategies, which can be pretty powerful. But to cater to a broad set of populations in different buildings, you really have to be a pretty robust platform that can handle a wide set of features.
I asked Chase to break down HQO's business model.
Yeah, so we charge 5 cents per square foot, and it varies based off of if they need white label application versus a standard HQO application, and that's annually. So pretty simple pricing on the software fee, and then a big focus of ours, and we think one of the things we think we were able to win in the market because we really, our technology team, 2/3 of our headcount is all in technology, so pretty much all of our investment goes to technology, building best in class technology. But we're also starting to invest heavily in our success game, which works directly with clients on kind of crossing this chasm of going from traditional real estate to becoming an experience oriented business, which is not any shift for any industry is difficult. This is just a different way of thinking about how you manage your property, right? How you create experience. So we have teams that will help come up with experience strategies alongside the property management teams. We'll help them with content management and the procurement. We really try to hold their hand and invest in some of their people so that they develop the skill set in-house after 12, 24, 36 months, however long it takes, because if they're not creating great experiences at the properties, then they're not going to activate the software and collect data. At the end of the day, this is all about becoming data driven. So we'll have scalable service fees on top of the software license, depending on the needs of the client.
I asked Chase to speak to HQO's client base and how HQO measures adoption.
The way we think of kind of the market is first we start with the landlord because they're our client. So how much of the landlord community is adopting tenant experience software? And then the second layer is once they've adopted software, how many tenants are adopting software? So I talked earlier a little bit about kind of the usage that we get from the tenant side. But right now on the landlord side, we're activated in about 12 million square feet, which typically the way that landlords test this technology, which I don't think is unique to other software technologies, is you get a building and then if you perform well, you can start to negotiate how you roll out across the portfolio. And what's been pretty interesting for us is that we've got about 9 landlord partners right now that make up that 12 million square feet, and half have all ordered more buildings and 2 have ordered their full portfolios. And in our pipeline, we've got of the top 200 landlords in North America, we've identified and actively have conversations with over 100 that are saying tenant experience is important to them. So that certainly doesn't mean they're necessarily going to go with HQO, but it shows that this kind of category, which in the software industry, oftentimes some of the biggest outcomes comes from creating a new category, but the hardest part is convincing the world that category needs to exist. These guys all buy into tenant experience fundamentally as a technology that they need and want, which is great.
I asked Chase what success looks like over the next 12 to 18 months. What's next on HQO's product roadmap?
It's really kind of building a robust platform that can handle a very wide scale third-party ecosystem of developers. So, you know, what we continually hear that our clients are looking for are these unique activations of third-party software. You know, if you have a partnership with a retailer that has an interesting software loyalty program, something like that. Landlords have always been in the business of making people's business successful, the physical platform that connects office or residential tenants to retailers. So that's something they fundamentally understand. Now, what we're trying to do is give them a software platform to do that digital world. So for us, it's building out a pretty flexible framework that's stable across many different property types. We'll have tens of millions more square feet coming online in Q2 and Q3. So you can imagine the parking system and some of the retail functionality of a building in Chicago. Some of the technology integrations of a building in London and our clients. So for us, it's truly becoming a platform. A lot of startups call themselves a platform. They're really not. So we try not to talk about it too much, but we will. We're going to invest everything that we've got into being a very, very robust platform. In 2019, success looks like, I think, probably by the end of the year, having hundreds of those integration partners live and successfully touching the tenants in our client buildings and making sure that our clients, our top, by the end of the year, 20 to 30 top clients are really starting to make that shift to data-driven growth, their asset strategy, and provide better work experiences for their clients and their clients' employees.
Great to connect with Chase Garbarino of HQO today. HQO is a tenant experience platform that enables landlords to create places people love. Headquartered in Boston, HQO partners with the leading landlords, property managers, and brokers who want to attract innovative tenants, provide a premium experience, and increase overall asset value. HQO is a company that strives to push the bounds of technology and makes energy waste a thing of the past. And that concludes our show. I'm excited to follow Chase and HQO on their pursuit to achieve great experiences for tenants. You can find out more about Chase and HQO in the show notes. Please subscribe to The Real Estate Innovators and write a review wherever you subscribe to podcasts, which helps us grow our audience. You can find out more about The Real Estate Innovators at therealestateinnovators.com. Until next time, innovators.